So after one of the cut-ins, she wrote, "It's this guy who looks like a new tampon."
He does.
I mean,
is that the best insult to say tampon. A man looks like a new tampon, a fresh, untainted tampon?
Okay, looks great, looks full of potential. Hello and welcome to episode number 539 of the podcast. I'm your host, Knox McCoy.
And I'm your other host, Jamie Golden.
The podcast is a show dedicated to delightful idiocy, and we're committed to educating you on things entertained but do not matter.
To find out more about these topical pursuits, check us out at knoxandjamie.com. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook at The Podcast, and we're on Twitter, that we still call Twitter, at Podcast Pod. Mm-hmm.
Thanks for joining us this week as we are going to be talking The More You Know.
But before we do that, you guys, what are folks saying about our new Princess Collection over on Patreon? If you don't remember, that is our 5-episode series where we deep dive 5 of the most iconic Disney princesses, an exclusive audio series only on Patreon. Here's what some folks are saying. Christina said, "Loved Belle. First one I've listened to, and y'all really knocked it out of the park. Felt slightly uncensored."
Cool. Yeah, yes. Extremely uncensored,
It actually was. Karis Brister said, "Oh my gosh, I understand myself so much better after listening to the Rapunzel episode. Thank you, Jamie, for that Enneagram wisdom." Yes, we did discuss the Enneagram of the princesses. Tracy Nash says, "Jasmine episode, such a strong opener. So pumped to keep going." And then Katie Potato, our Australian beefots of the heart, said, "Oh my God, they were brilliant. Time for a re-listen already, and then I'll go binge the movies." So all you have to do to snag the series is head to knoxandjamie.com/annual and sign up as an annual BFOTS on Patreon. If you aren't happy in the first 30 days, we'll refund your money. That's how confident we are that you will love being a year-round BFOTS.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
All right, Jamie, it's time to do The More You Know.
The more you know.
Okay, you know, lots of stuff happening. Emmys happened last night. You know, there's some really exciting movie news we're going to get to. But more importantly, most urgently, I think we should really appeal to all the demographics and quadrants and talk about our weather situations. Let's do, we'll do like a group, ask a personal question. Like, how's your weather? What's going on?
Listen, I think everybody wants to talk about the weather. It's what we all like to talk about. Why do we talk about it so much if we don't like to talk about it? And so here it is 19 degrees. I know that some of you listening, you're buried. You're literally buried in snow and blizzard and penguins. I get it. But I had to wear pants and socks today. And also, if you lean in close, you can hear all my faucets dripping in hopes that my pipes won't freeze. Yeah, every one of them. They just drip, 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 drip.
Listen, I do trigger warning if you've had pipes explode, you know, because I did experience that last December, not this most recent, 2 Decembers ago. So we were living that trauma last night of like, as we're about to list this house, what if all the pipes explode again? What if that happens? So I had heat lamps. I was embracing fire hazards. I was like, well, I think burning the house down is as bad as it being overrun by water. And that's just like a that's just a risk we're going to have to take. You know?
Listen, that's not normal for us in the South. Although Knox lives in Appalachia, so it is, he has more snow than we do. But I had to put little coats. I do live in a tiny part of Appalachia, but not.
We both live in Appalachia, right? you most recently lived really close to pigs. I'm about to move towards pigs. I will counter with you live in uppity Appalachia.
I do live in.
Is that fair?
That is fair. I'll allow that. Because the mountain I have to travel over has lots of fine dining. So, you know, not the same. I forgot what I was saying. It doesn't matter. What?
It's cold in the South and we're not used to it, but everybody
We're not used to it. And I had to put little coats on my faucets outside, those little where the water comes out and the hose.
That's what they're called. You know, look, the North isn't used to winning a national championship. So we're not shaming them for how they don't know how to celebrate. That's just good for them. Right. Like they're dealing with it their own way. You know, we don't know how to deal with ice and snow. So we're dealing with it. You know,
that's right. So, and snow day, you're all home. Erin, she seems to be hidden in her basement.
I'm great.
Hoping for the best.
I'm great. I love a productive snow day at home. It is so good for the productivity. I'm happy. I'm happy. I love it.
The snow day happening so close to Christmas break being over, that's tough, you know, because like the kids were home for a long time. And then they went back for a little time. Mm-hmm. And now they're home for a long time. Just got a text, said, hey, we're going to be closed again tomorrow.
No!
So I'm taking that in stride.
Oh, no.
You know, it's fine.
Do you want to talk through that?
No, I don't. I don't want to. My son hasn't been to school in like 6 years because of the Christmas break.
He's been in a foreign country.
Yeah. He's been in 80 degrees. So he doesn't know what to do with himself. So I just thoughts and prayers for us, I would say. You know, thoughts and prayers for us right now.
Peace and peace. And let us know, was weather talk interesting? Let us know.
Yeah. I don't care. Because this is therapy. This is our better help right now.
That's true.
You know, in real time.
That's right.
So, Jamie, let's go ahead and go to what's the word? And I want to get your word in reaction to the Emmys, which were on last night.
My word is dreamy. Listen, this might have been my favorite Emmys of all time.
Factual. Yes, it is. 100%.
I mean, it felt like a love letter to those of us who adore TV. Also, I think this show was made for the olds. They were like, you know what? Gen Z doesn't even watch television.
They don't.
Like, they're not even here. So why don't we just succumb to the elder millennials and the Gen X and even maybe some baby boomer and let's like hook them up with those. We got show reunions. We got the sets, which I think matters a lot. I just don't want to see the cast walk up to the mic together. I do want to see them in the room. Like, that's very important to me. And then we got some icons like Marla Gibbs and Carol Burnett and Joan. Oh my gosh. 90s. All of them. All three of them in their 90s. It was amazing.
Gentle pushback. Not a shove.
Well,
just a gentle guiding you somewhere else. I'm against. I don't need 90-year-olds. Got enough 90-year-olds. Let's get younger. Let's make younger great again. That's what I would say.
I would say Carol Burnett did the best. She didn't even need a helper. You know what I mean? Like, she came out and she was like,
is that the bar we want? This old person didn't fall or need help. You know, it's not what I'm looking for as a person. I agree with you though. Mine was like, it's two words. I'm pleasantly surprised. You buckle up for like, it's gonna be good in some spots, kind of clunky. Maybe the monologue's gonna suck, but generally I think we kind of knew how it was gonna go, but this was such a nice experience. My daughter even made it. She watched for a little bit and I was like, this is incredible. Like I wouldn't have imagined an under, you know, 18-year-old child would have wanted to watch this, but she lasted for a little bit longer than I thought. You hit some of the broad strokes. Hit me with like, what's the thing you liked like from the telecast generally?
Listen, because with some of these awards, especially because we have so many in a row, the Emmys is not supposed to happen in January. It's supposed to happen in September. It got delayed because of the strike. And so we were actually giving people awards for shows that happened in a different century. That's how long ago it has been. But I did love that Quinta Brunson genuinely seemed surprised that she won. And it was a competitive category, but I also loved that it started the show off strong because it was just Black women winning on MLK Day.
Yeah.
On a show run by Black women. Like, it was a Black production team running the show. So I kind of secretly loved that, but also that Quinta Brunson was given that award by Carol Burnett and that Quinta Brunson Now, this is not necessarily something I like, but she is the first Black woman to win lead actress in a comedy in 42 years.
Yeah.
And there's only one other time. So it's just the two of them. And that's Isabel Sanford from The Jeffersons, which got a little shout out at the top of the show. So
it did.
That I like that. I was like, dang, that is a lot of white people.
Because it's a lot of years to not be winning, you know.
Because it's not like other women of color were like, oh, no, it was just other women of color winning. No.
Yeah.
That wasn't happening either. So.
Yeah, we can probably do a little better. A step in the right direction. My daughter did love her dress, Quinta Brunson's dress. She was like, very beautiful. This is really good stuff.
Such
like,
a perfect color for her.
Yeah. I'm not used to watching the show with. That was good. I'll stay kind of in that direction of women of color contributing to the telecast. I'm going to say I liked Anthony Anderson's mom. I liked the bit of hurrying people along. And I know it got weird with Jennifer Coolidge. It did. I embraced that. Did. Yeah. But you got to drop a body to make people believe. And you know what? I don't think anyone else like really stepped to the time limit again. So like example made, you know?
No, the only person was John Oliver, who then made it an intentional part of his speech. He was like, I am not leaving the stage until Anthony Anderson's mom makes me. And he just started listing out football players from like Liverpool. And it was a delight. But I will say I did turn on her at the end. I did. And Aaron and I wasn't live tweeting. I was live texting with Aaron and we were both gummied. So I'm going to be honest. It was a weird, we should sell that thread.
I don't know if I'm comfortable with that.
There is a huge market for gummy infused text thread literature. That's a boom market right now, according to my research.
If anyone hacked us, it would be a problem.
Because Aaron said to me, she was like, I said, I think I've turned on Anthony's mom. And she's like, on MLK Day? And I'm like, wow. Yeah. Like, because I said, I have a dream that she will stop doing this bit. Like, that's what
I liked it.
My dream.
I thought it was like, you're not going to disrespect her. And it gave everybody like a timeline and they adhered to it. I was appreciative.
They did. It did.
It's checkmate. Cause you're right, Aaron. No one's going to step to her and be like, I'm talking now because it's a terrible look. Also, Jennifer Coolidge, you need to be hemmed in. Some of these people need to be hemmed in. I don't want to hear the whole deal. You know, and I'll also, and another thing I liked, the thank you, Chiron thing.
Yes.
Of like, brilliant. What an innovation. An innovation of like all the reps, all the stupid people that I don't care about. The fact that they got that over with and you could just kind of like do the broad strokes, genius stuff.
Yeah, because nobody wants to hear Bob Iger's name said out loud. Nobody wants that. Just put it in the Chiron. That's perfect. Another thing I loved was I was very excited to see Tina Fey and Amy Poehler. Mm. Do a weekend update. One, they look very well preserved. I would argue comedy is your best bet to stay looking really good. And they were genuinely funny. I like that Amy Poehler made an EGOT joke without knowing that that Elton John was going to win an EGOT like that very night. I liked them a lot. I also liked the joke about Mean Girls, the movie, because they were
talking
about
funny. They got to laugh.
That was very funny. And as someone who saw Mean Girls, the movie, the musical, the movie, you know, not for me, for other people. And I also saw Renee Rapp say she's not into old people, so she's ageist like us, but she means people over 24. So she's not into the olds, so we are not included in that. I mean, we are included in that. She's not into what we have to say.
The last thing I liked, I'll say, you mentioned the cast reunions. I think that's genius. That's great producing.
Yes.
Just be like, hey, nostalgia, you're going to see some people. The sets, like you said, great idea, because it adds some texture to, that's the cast of Grey's Anatomy, but now there's a beeping like heart monitor. Boom. I feel like I'm in an episode right now. I think that's great. I do think we got a little liberal with some of the cast reunions, right? Because Dr. Melfi and Christopher from Sopranos, that's not a cast reunion. That's just two people from the show, Sopranos.
Well,
you know what I mean?
James is dead. Drea DiMatteo, what's she doing?
Yeah.
What's she got going
She's
on?
She's around.
Where's Polly Jamie Lynn?
No, I don't know if
Where's
Polly
little Jamie?
Around.
Jamie Lynn Sigler? Is that a person? Yeah.
She's there. Meadow, she's around. There's just the Sopranos cast, they are not shy. Okay, so you could have had some people. I thought the Cheers cast, that was something, man. That felt like bingo time at the retirement home. I don't know if Frasier felt like he had to stage manage everyone because he got a little curt with some people. Or if he was helping. I don't know what was going on there, you know?
Well, and I did like how old they all are, but like, it makes sense. Cheers was on in the 80s. It's not like, I mean, time is a construct, but I will say I didn't like the Ally McBeal not having Jenna Maroney. That felt like, I mean, that was like easy. She could have been there. I also didn't like Gray's. I mean, where's Dead George? Where's Christina Yang? Where's McDreamy? Although I know they all hate McDreamy, but
do they? That's confirmed. They hate McDreamy.
Well, he hates them. So ergo, they're like, well, we're not into you either. And I know, I know Sandra Oh is like, I've put that behind me. I'm not, but I want to go. Listen, I get that you put it behind you, and I don't know what happened while you were there, but also the reason we know who you are is because of that. Like,
that's true. That's 100% true.
Don't forget what we know about you to be true.
I did that. You mentioned George. That was my first, when they said Gray's cast reunion, I was like, is George going to be there? Because Bury the Hatch, like things be cool with George. He was not there, unfortunately. Is there a chance McDreamy had like, is there, I don't know if there's like Sexiest Man of the Year, if there's like a tour thing you got to do? You know, like, you
know, like Dancing with the Stars?
Win like Miss Universe, you got to go around and do some stuff, make some appearances.
Oh,
I do feel like you should do that.
Like you go to like old folks homes and you're like, hi, I'm the sexiest man alive. And I'm younger than you, but not much. Yeah. And
no, I think that's great. I think a casual, not a full on Chippendales situation at the old folks home, but a casual one, you know, maybe just the shirts off.
The best cast was the Martin cast. Like they came to play. They had great chemistry still with each other. It seems like they still like each other. So they were all there. And so they did the best, I thought.
You didn't like the Game of Thrones, just Tyrion is here from Game of Thrones?
Well, Erin got, that was when her text, as soon as she saw that throne, she was absolutely not. And, but then I was like, no, it's Dinkaroo. This is fun.
Do you think Dinkaroo likes being called Dinkaroo?
That was disrespectful.
He likes it. He knows. Text. No, he knows that Dinkaroo is sexual. And that I'm really into him. And
I don't think that's implied. I don't know if that's a parent implication.
Well, let me be clear. I'm down to clown with Peter Dinklage. Let me be clear.
Yeah. So let the record show. Let the record show.
Do you want to know where Drea De Mateo is?
Yeah, what's she doing? Out
she has an OnlyFans.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Do you know what the primary focus is of her OnlyFans?
I could look.
Feet? Is it feet? Is it ears?
Part of me worried. I don't know. I don't know that this is true. My fear was she got real in the conspiracies. I don't know if I've seen something or read something about that, so I don't know. But that's hearsay on my part.
I don't know. I don't want to go on to OnlyFans. Yeah. That feels like a...
Aaron, go ahead and subscribe. You can expense it, and then maybe come back in like 5 or 10 and let us know like what the stitch is.
What you've seen.
I'm good.
What you've seen there.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This episode is brought to you by our amazing sponsor, Olive & June. As a longtime user, like 6 years, and a huge fan of Olive & June, I still can't get over how easy and convenient their Manny systems are. Between hosting 2 podcasts, planning a live show, and our latest merch launch, I haven't had much time for like self-care and sitting around at a salon for hours. No time, but I do love having pretty nails, and it's during these busy, hectic times that I'm especially thankful for Olive & June. Their Manny & Petty systems come with everything you could possibly need to have salon-worthy nails genuinely at home whenever you want them, even if you only have 5 minutes. I love how Olive & June, they've created products for those of us with a lot on our plates who maybe are not great at doing their nails. Like, I don't have a ton of skill set. And look, they've made it easy. The number of times I've done my nails in a rush as I'm about to run out the door and then end up smudging them, it's super embarrassing. You'd think I'd learn by now, but no more. Olive & June's line of tab press-ons are a life hack I never want to live without. They're so easy to put on and come in different sizes, so you can always find the perfect fit for you. They look so real and they last like 10 or more days, and they're not damaging like gel. I love that I can order them as part of the Manny system with up to 4 different tab sets. It's the perfect time-saving Prezi for myself. Visit oliveandjune.com/popcast for 20% off your first system. That's OliveandJune.com/popcast. POPCAST, for 20% off your first system. This episode is brought to you by our amazing sponsor, Aura Frames. I am super excited to share that this brand is not only Knox and Jamie approved, but more importantly, it's Chuck and Jan approved. Aura Frames are Wi-Fi connected frames with unlimited storage, so you can share as many photos as you want from your phone, and they just magically appear on the frame. If Chuck and Jan aren't enough of an endorsement, it's also been named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter. It's such a fun gift for all ages. Do you know what my favorite part of the Aura frame is? I haven't been called over to Chuck and Jan's house even once for like Tech Sunday to like set it up, to fix it. It's truly the perfect set it and forget it gift in the best way possible. I was over to their house for Easter dinner. My niece sent all the adorable photos we had taken of my cutie patootie great nephews to Chuck and Jan's Aura frame. And it was so easy and seamless and fun to have the photos show up before we even left the house. Jan is the most difficult person to buy gifts for. And I was excited to see how much she loves her Aura frame because I immediately decided to get one for her bedside table for Mother's Day this year. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's auraframes.com. Use code podcast at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. The show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Has everyone's social calendar suddenly picked up, or is it just me? This is that magical time of the year when I can actually enjoy a patio lunch with Jan or just be outside for longer than 10 minutes without immediately regretting every life choice. You know what I mean? Since this beautiful weather only lasts about 5 days in Alabama, it's always tempting to cram in as many social gatherings as possible, for I need to limit myself to indoor-only activities, and it can be easy to ignore my social battery and spread myself too thin. As an extrovert, I tend to thrive around people, and I always thought the more the merrier when it came to social commitments. Therapy has been super helpful in giving me the self-awareness I needed to build a social life that does not drain my battery. Being able to not only recognize my boundaries, but be able to enforce them has been so helpful in creating some balance in my life. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. Since it's entirely online, the convenience truly cannot be beat, and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/podcastpod today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/podcastpod. So some things I didn't like in the Emmys, I did think there was too much 9/11. Is that controversial? It felt like too much 9/11. Like,
it was.
I get that it's the 75th, but what I didn't understand is, yes, we all watched 9/11 on TV. Yes, we did. Yeah. That's true. But there's been 75 years of TV where we've watched lots of things live. Why did this have to be the one you kept circling back to?
It was when it was like, we saw people on the moon. 9/11. I just like, oh, I don't know that I was made that connection. You know, maybe there's a stair step there.
Why didn't we end? I just didn't understand why they didn't end with MLK's speech. Like, end with it. It's today. Yeah. Don't make him a post-roll ad in the show when everybody's leaving to go to parties, but they can't leave. Listen, I wanted an insight. I wanted a camera in the theater so that when they started running the speech from the March on Washington, I wanted to see who got up. Who got up and was like, I got to go. Because you know who got up? Brian Cox. He 100% got up and was like, this is not my country. I don't know about this. We are still into colonialism where I'm from. So this is not for
wow.
me.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. That's, yeah. Let's toss it allegedly in there. Listen, in there.
I have some Brian Cox angst because of how he was. I didn't realize that he and Jeremy Strong do not get along at all. I did not realize that. Are you surprised by that?
Two, no, I'm not. Seemingly surprised. Not prickly people don't get along, you know?
But he wasn't there. And when they were asked, he made some snide comments where Sarah Snook was like, he's in production right now across the world. And he was a little snide. And I was just like, come on.
Well, Jeremy Strong just said he forgot. You know, he's just like, I thought it was next Monday. Oh my God. I'm so sorry.
It's hard to have affection. It's hard to have affection for Jeremy Strong, truly. Yeah. I mean that. Although I did think he was great as Kendall. He really was.
You got to separate the art and the artist, you know? You just like, just let it ride, Listen,
spicy take. I think Kieran Culkin just portrayed himself. I don't think he did anything special in Succession.
I agree with you. And also spicy take, I'm a little upset with you because I feel like you have threatened my enjoyment of McDonald's by alleging that Brian Cox is a colonialist. You know, and I want to eat my fries I don't want the burden of that baggage, Jamie. So take it back now.
My bad. I take it back. I didn't mean
Thank you.
It's not true.
You know, I didn't love the intro. I didn't love the intro at all.
Okay.
I thought if you're trying to, so I mentioned my daughter was with me, almost lost her. I don't know why we're talking about 50 year old TV here when we had such a great year of television. And I don't know why Anthony Anderson is playing the piano. Is he playing the piano? I don't know if he was. I didn't need that. I'm a simple guy. I'm a meat and potatoes kind of gentleman. Give me some LOLs, make fun of the audience, and let's get to these awards. You know,
I'm going to say the real tough part of the Emmys telecast was the number of people who should have been able to sing live, but did not do it well. A lot of pitchy with that little choir with the white Fletcher guy. And uh-huh. I would say Charlie Puth and his pairing did not sing. It's tough when people's dead photos are going by that will eventually turn into a vision board at the end where they've cropped all their faces together. And y'all are not even close to singing on pitch. Two things.
You can't give notes on the people singing the In Memoriam. And also you can't do a youth camp collage for all the dead people of the year. You can't.
We were like, is that a vision board for like, are you watching are the 90 year old icons watching this going, I hope I get to be in the center, just like Matthew Perry.
Yeah. Like, it used to be the hook. Like you just get the end. Now it's like the whole thing's built around your demise this year, which was tough for both of you. What percentage of people did you not remember had died?
Barbara Walters
for one.
It's just text after text. What? Barbara Walters?
Didn't know. I was a 50. I was 50% like, whoa, that they died this year. It was tough for me.
This was an iconic year for the dying. Like so many big players died. This feels like the biggest year of death.
Yeah. So neither of you answered. So I'm going to assume it's 100%. Like that's crazy. No, it was just a lot of people.
It was a lot of people. It was 30%. I was like, nope, didn't know. That's pretty good. God, that was a long time ago. I thought she died 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Aaron, over under 74.5% for you that you did not realize.
I was trying to go back to see who I was surprised had died. And I found the text where Jamie said that she liked Calista Flockhart's dress and that she thought Calista Flockhart looked so good for being 60. And I was like, wow, that's incredible. And she said, it's that Han Solo dick keeping her good.
Yeah. I'm just going to write the timestamp for no reason.
Right.
No reason I'm writing that down.
Twitch. I mean, I had forgotten that Twitch died. I mean, I hadn't forgotten, but it was just it reminded me of that.
That's okay. It's okay to say you forgot. You're not disparaging like his memory. I think I wouldn't know what's the move. When do you clap and yell? Because some people just got silence. And then some people got like a big like whoop, like a woo woo.
Do you mean when Sally Struthers and Rob Reiner came back and no one even moved in their seat to stand up?
Yeah.
And I think she was really like, with the H.
She's known for stuff that's not that TV show. You know, it's her sad commercials, I would argue. And he had like a weird Wolf of Wall Street cameo, like where he was talking about.
That's right.
So it's like, it just got complicated in terms of like how we're quantifying them.
I would say it did.
I also didn't like The Last of Us getting shut out. You know, this was like obviously the big billboard was like Succession, Beef, The Bear, and then and nothing else for anybody. So that's kind of tough. I mean, I know those three shows were the best. Weirdly though, there was a lot of Dahmer-Monster as if it's a married name, and also : the Jeffrey Dahmer story, which did feel redundant. I didn't remember this being impactful. Did you?
No, because I remember it being like, hey, why are we still doing this? I thought we were going to stop centering the killers and the murders. I thought we had moved past this. Now, am I excited that because of that, Niecy got her flowers that she has long deserved, and that speech was iconic, and her boobies. Aaron was like, I'm concerned about her boobies.
Yeah.
And, it was a close one. Because it was touch and go there for a second. But it is weird to be like, wait, did we watch that? I don't remember that.
I remember Netflix. Anytime I'd scroll by it, it'd be him being like, eat the sandwich. To, I guess, Niecy Nash. I don't remember. That was clearly made of a person. And
so how'd you feel about, it was a surprise and it was a pleasant surprise. Paul Walter Hauser winning for Blackbird, a green light of ours. We love that series. It's fantastic. But the fact that he bit into a mango While they were announcing his name?
He was chewing something. I didn't realize what it was.
He said later in the interview, they were like, what were you eating? And he was like, a mango. Okay, first of all, this isn't the Golden Globes. We're at a theater. This is a no food theater. Why are you eating a piece of fruit?
Is it really food theater?
Most theaters are but what I had a problem with is that he's chewing it and then he kisses his wife while in the midst of still chewing it. Because when he stopped kissing her, he's still chewing. Don't love that.
Oh, I love that. That's great. That's a little flavor kiss. You know, I got no issues with that.
I did love his speech. I thought, listen, I love when a white guy has like, all I've ever wanted to be is a rapper and I'm a stupid actor, but what I want to be is a rapper and I will be rapping about wrestling real quick. I love that.
Was that a rap? Or I feel like if it's a rap, there's music. There's no beat. I feel like that's poetry. That was a poem. He did
a spoken word. Felt like a spoken word.
Okay.
We should have snapped. I don't know why they didn't snap. I did like that he was shaking so hard because he was so nervous, but he was trying to be cool.
Relatable. Yeah.
And he was adorable. I was happy for him. He's a great actor.
I do love him. I thought he deserved it. I didn't think he would win. Clearly, he didn't think he would win, or else he wouldn't have taken a big old bite of mango before it. But yeah, it was good stuff.
Can I make a case that the bear, because we did get some comment, people tagged us and were like, hey, can you explain why the bear is a comedy when it's not a comedy? And I would argue it's sort of a comedy. It is definitely the blend. And the 30 minutes of it all helps lend itself to being more comedic. I do think it is funny, but I also could make the case that Succession is a comedy.
I would say if it really bothers you that the bear is winning for comedy and you don't think it's very comedic, I don't know what to tell you. You know, don't be a baby. Like, just whatever. Who cares? You know what I mean?
That's right.
It's getting awards.
Right.
You don't want to get awards? What's your problem, man?
For those of you wondering, should you tag us in questions that you have about pop culture? Maybe not. Maybe not.
All right. Let's go to Smash or Pass. And this is, we'll kind of do a themed one. This will be like Smash or Pass Cinema Side Piece because we got a lot of announced movies recently that I thought were interesting conversation pieces. So, Jamie, do you want to talk about the first movie announcement?
Okay, it's Selena Gomez, and it was announced that she is going to be starring in the Linda Ronstadt biopic. Now, Linda Ronstadt is a country, rock and roll, Latin music legend. She's won 11 Grammys, was like nominated for 30-something Grammys. She has Lifetime Achievement Awards. She kind of ran in the circles of like Emmy Lou Harris, Dolly Parton, that whole kind of generation of icons. Now, she is of Mexican descent. And so Selena Gomez, also of Mexican descent. So it does make sense that she would be playing her. But this is already a pass for me before I get to the worst detail in this story. It's a pass because I don't think Selena is a good actress. And I think Murders in the Building, which I love, and Greenlit, and I do love. I just think she is as one note as they come, where it's just like, What do you mean? Yeah, exactly. Like that, I just don't think she's the Wizards of Waverly Place anymore. She's just the like, this is me and I'm not doing great mentally and I'm struggling and I don't know how to have affect to my voice.
Thank you for respecting Wizards of Wave Place, as the big fans call it.
Of course.
And thank you for anticipating my counterpoint. Because she was, we all agree, cooking at a different level.
Oh.
But to your point, no one's been able to resurrect that kind of humor and that pizzazz. So it's a problem.
Yeah, because I don't think anybody would be like, the star of Murders in the Building is Selena Gomez. Like, no one thinks that. The story
is
the script.
Like the boomer, below the boomer line, I feel like she probably is the star, you know? But for a certain crowd, Martin Short and Steve Martin are the stars.
I think Steve Martin and Martin Short have been added to a lot of hall passes of some young folks. I do think that's true.
Interesting.
I would argue Steve Martin's on my hall pass for sure.
Aaron, since you're on OnlyFans, will you see if Steve Martin or Martin Short have an OnlyFans?
They're not.
Or like imitators, impersonators?
Martin Short for sure does.
He would. He would if he could.
I definitely 100%. Have a Google alert for that.
Okay, but what about if I give you another detail? Would this bring you back in?
I'm full out, but I know what the detail is, and I'm almost so out that I'm back in now, you know?
So it was announced. First, she announced it. She shared a little clip and it was announced. I was like, okay, this is great. And then they waited because they're not stupid. They waited like one day and they were like, oh, and by the way, David O. Russell is directing it. I'm sorry. Why are we still David O. Russelling? Okay. Why are we doing that? I don't understand that. As a reminder, director David O. Russell, who directed American Hustle, Silver Linings Playbook, last year's Amsterdam, he admitted, this is not alleged, so we don't have to put the alleged. He said it in an interview, yeah, I sexually assaulted my niece because she was, and this is a quote, he said, she was acting very provocative towards me.
Great defense, first of all. Good stuff right. there. Love right. the backbone of what you're saying. Right. I just think, I don't know. Amsterdam was a big no good. Big no, no good. Good.
Big no good.
He is a big no good. Not just yeah. like in terms of that anecdote that you shared, Jamie, but also on set, universally, everyone agrees he kind of sucks. And for someone like Selena yeah. Gomez, who I would argue probably, I don't know, but it doesn't feel like she's got like, I don't know, Christian Bale's like constitution in terms of
no.
dealing it's with okay. dramatic situations. Is yeah, that it's fair? Okay
to, no, it's very fair because I've watched her mental health documentary that she yeah. made last year. I'm telling you, you're not going to like this guy on set when you're trying to embody this icon. This musical icon, you're not going to like. Ask Lily Tomlin, ask yeah. George Clooney, ask Amy Adams what they thought of how that went, their whole yeah. experience. Jennifer Lawrence, go call up. I'm sure you have her number. Call up Jennifer Lawrence and ask her what she thought of David O. Russell. And yeah, she's going to tell you a different tale.
It's almost like someone who maybe really doesn't want their feet to be fetishized signing up to be in a Quentin Tarantino movie. And it would just be like, guys, what are you doing? You know, this isn't going to do well for anybody.
Right.
Here.
Like, no. No. Yeah. So I'm out 100%. That is a pass for me.
Okay. Okay. I'll talk about one I saw, an announcement. And this is about a new Scorsese movie. So obviously, Martin Scorsese, most recently in Killers of the Flower Moon, he announced basically, you know, there's a big LA Times article you can check out that talks a little bit retrospectively about his career and like the themes he's pursuing. But essentially, I'll boil it down to this. He met the Pope and then decided to do a movie about Jesus, about the big JC. And... I'm worried because Martin Scorsese is top of the game, but wanting to make a movie about Jesus, it's got a lot of young Theo bros.
But he's also already made a movie about Jesus. He did The Last yes. Temptation of the Christ. Like yes. he's done it before, right?
Fair. But he's older now and he's cooler and, you know, he's got like a lot of experience and like he's really inspired or whatever. The most jarring things from the article that I saw was, you tell me, I'm gonna give you three details. You tell me what's most okay. concerning to you.
Okay.
This movie will be 80 minutes. Ooh. It's going to be based on Shusaka Endo's book, A Life of Jesus, and he's going to set it in the present day. What troubles okay. you the most about that?
Okay. So, I would say 80 minutes. He feels the, critique of, hey, why these all got to be 3 hours, 80 minutes? Why they got to yeah. be like that?
Because on average, his movies are like 6,000 minutes. And right. he's telling me he's going to do a tight 80. I don't think
and
so.
And I also like a director who can, before we've even started filming, trust me, it's 80 minutes. Like, there's no way yeah. it goes over. So that's yeah. not true. So I don't trust that. The fact that it's based on Shusaku Inu's book, I will trust, actually. I like, that's actually a detail I embrace because he also wrote the book that the movie Silence is based
that's
on.
Right.
And I love that's right. Silence. So that's a good fact. My concern is the modern day of it all.
Do you think he met the Pope and he saw Barbie and he was like, I've got an idea. Let Marty Baby cook.
You know what the rumor is of who's going to play Jesus?
Oh, please don't say Jim Caviezel.
No. Oh, no. We're not going back to that well. But it's yeah. because Guillermo del Toro, and to be clear, everyone is filming a Frankenstein. Like, yeah. everybody. Maggie Gyllenhaal, everybody's doing it. But in Guillermo del Toro, actually the only person I would trust to make a Frankenstein movie, it was supposed to be Andrew Garfield. And he weirdly dropped out earlier this month and has been replaced by Jacob Elordi as the monster.
Excellent recast, honestly.
Actually better. Yeah, and you know who's playing the doctor? Oscar Isaac. What? Love it.
Okay. Into it, I'm into 100%. All sides of that. That's good.
That's right. But that made me go, Andrew Garfield is going to play Jesus. Like,
there's some Jesus vibes there. There's some big Jesus vibes there with Andrew Garfield. I think that's good. I just don't know if I want to watch a 3.5 hour movie, because it will be 3.5 hours, about Jesus in the modern day, you know, even if it's Martin Scorsese. Secretly, I just haven't been loving his movies. They feel very indulgent, and that's fine. He's earned the right. But I have a lot of issues. So I think I'm going to pass on this. I don't think I'm going to smash on this. What about you?
I will smash if it's the right person playing Jesus. And by that, I mean hot. I want a hot Jesus, like real hot.
Are you a hardliner known commodity playing JC or unknown commodity playing JC?
No, I don't mind an unknown commodity as long as they're good. It reminds me of the guy in Holdovers, the kid that was his first role. He was amazing. Yeah. He'll have a long career. He's so good. But like sometimes first time role, I was going to say Taylor Swift, but she was amazing in Valentine's Day. Like she was amazing.
Is this a bit? Are you trying to be rude to me right now?
But because I was mainly thinking of cats, and I was like, was she the problem, or were the cats?
No, it's the buttholes. We've been over
that. The buttholes were the problem. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Butthole realism held that movie back so much. Jamie, talk to me about another movie you saw.
Okay, so the next one is, and I know we're all excited. I know all of us are equally excited about this, and that is The Mandalorian and Grogu, which is going to be a Star Wars movie directed by Jon Favreau. And it is actually replacing season 4, which I actually think is wise. Let's stop.
Oh, you think it is? You think it's wise to not do another season of Mando?
I do, because the last season was not good. It was not good. And I do think, let's just do a movie. Let's just knock it out. Let's just have the movie. Now, I'm concerned that Disney, because listen, we haven't had a Disney movie, because, you know, everybody just kind of equates Star Wars with Marvel. But like, to be fair, there has not been a Disney movie in 5 years. Like,
now you're saying Disney, you mean Star Wars, right?
Oh, sorry. A Star Wars. There hasn't been a Star Wars movie in 5 years. So to me, that's good. Now, the problem is, unfortunately, that Kathleen is still involved and she's very excited to produce this film. And I do think for all things Star Wars, she is the problem. She is for sure the problem. We all thought it was George Lucas. It's not. It's her. Kathleen Kennedy is the problem. And listen, because I didn't realize that they are filming with Daisy Ridley. Like they're doing, she's coming back as Rey, mainly because, let's be honest, there's not much out there for Daisy Ridley. She tried to go out and she came right back.
What do you mean? What do you mean? I know. Mm-hmm.
Nobody saw Chaos, whatever, Walking Chaos with Tom Holland. or that train movie, The Orient Express. But here's what I will say about her. I was really bummed because Adam Driver, of course, was asked, like, would you come back? And he was like, nope, I'm done. And I was sad because I kind of would love for them to be, because they were very sexy together and I would have liked them to come back.
Look, the Adam Driver, frank and honest press conferences and interviews is kind of getting me through life right now.
Oh, 100%.
And I want him to embrace it. Him telling people to F off because the question's stupid about Ferrari. Yeah. Love that. When he talked about the arc he was presented with for Kylo was not what was actually executed. And there was some inherent frustration that made a lot of sense. And I think that's indicative of the problem with Star Wars. And I don't mind The Mandalorian, I do feel like it's getting watered down. And I think that's because it has taken a place of primacy in the Star Wars universe is like, this is the most important property we have. And it's gotten less interesting because of that. Whereas in the first season, it wasn't that important or pivotal. So it was taking risks and it was really interesting. Now I think this is one of the most cowardly choices from a franchise that has so much IP, but is terrified of originality. And I can't think of anyone who watched last season was like, you know what we need to do now? Take this to the movies. We should do a whole movie bit. I would rather them be like, this is Adventures in Babysitting 3. And boom, we're going to do that.
I do just like Grogu. I like Grogu being on the big screen. But you're right. Like, It's such an unfortunate thing because Andor was so unique and so special, and I'm so glad it's coming back. But it doesn't have to bear on anything else. Like, it doesn't really have to impact, because we're just telling this kind of one story, and it's kind of all encompassed. It might have, you know, reaches to other, but it doesn't have to be like, well, if you haven't watched this, you cannot watch. You are not gonna like Echo. I went in and started Echo on Disney, the new Marvel series.
Yeah.
And I was very excited, but immediately I was like, no, I can't watch this. I'm behind. I have not seen A, B, and C, and I'm not gonna understand this fully.
When they do if you didn't see Hawkeye, you're not gonna know that. And it's like, bro, Hawkeye, I loved it, but like, not for everybody. You know what I mean?
No,
it's
just exactly.
It's crazy right now. I think putting a puppet and a person who is meant to be Pedro Pascal, but is not Pedro Pascal. That's insane to do, you know?
I know. Listen, we all know it's a cash grab. That's what we're doing. Like, Disney is like, we got to make money, you guys. But I'm telling you,
the only way I'm back in is if like, it's first scene, Pedro, like a mutant Falcon, like takes a big S on his helmet and he has to take it off and be like, got to get my helmet repaired. So the next, you know, hour 20, I'm going to be without my helmet.
If we're making it all up, why can't the Mandalorians be like, now we're cool with no helmets? You still got to have this particular steel.
Love that. And then what about this? They do, Grogu's got to take a pill and he's got to look like a human for like 40 minutes. And you know who plays Grogu? Do you know?
Who?
Kieran Culkin. No. Boom. So now it's Pedro and Kieran Culkin.
Absolutely not.
In Star Wars. Why?
They have great chemistry and I love that. Yeah. And I do love that for them. However, again, I don't want Grogu to just be the version of Kieran Culkin that we always get, which is really just the guy drinking milk with pizza, right? A little bit.
Yeah, but like Grogu trying to get some strange, getting a little weird, getting a little disrespectful. That's a welcome.
I do like Grogu high and trying to tap that in a bar in Tatooine. I do love that.
Self-pleasuring himself on a window like Roman.
Why?
He did. It's Succession. That's a storyline for Succession. I didn't make that up.
I know it is, but I don't love it.
Sure. Just crossing over here. another movie that got announced that, I gotta be honest, made me a little sad, but also happy sad. You know, happy sad. This was Top Gun 3. Wow. So Tom Cruise been busy. He's got to deal with Warner Brothers. And he's also going to be developing Top Gun 3 with Paramount. And I think the guy, the co-writer on Top Gun Maverick is going to be working on a draft. And supposedly the rumor is that Miles Teller, Glenn Powell are going to be in this movie, as well as Jerry Bruckheimer. And I think Joe Kaczynski, I don't know if Joe Kaczynski did Maverick or not, but he's going to direct. He's a known Tom Cruise collaborator.
I would be into this if Tom Cruise was marginalized.
Okay, that's interesting.
I'm interested in a Miles Teller and Glenn Powell. Like, let's let them cook. Because I was really disappointed with how little we actually got of them in Top Gun : Maverick. And I get that, like I just said it, Top Gun : Maverick, it's about Maverick. Uh-huh. I get it. And I get that Tom Cruise wants it to be about Maverick. Maybe someone could come in and be like, hey, maybe you could be in it and produce it and make a lot of money from it. But maybe we don't need you to fly a plane.
So if I'm Tom Cruise, here's how I would respond to that. I would say, so you want to give the movie to the guy who couldn't open a romantic comedy with, he's really hot and he's got a really hot girlfriend and they couldn't break 100 million. But me, who can break a Billy, you want them to carry the movie. Is that what
you know
right
I would
now?
Say? I would say, listen, first of all, that movie came out at Christmas and that didn't make any sense. It's not even set at Christmas. So why did that movie come out at Christmas? But I'd also say, like, in the actual, because they're in the Navy, right? It's not the Air Force. It's the Navy.
What do you think?
I think it's the Navy because they're boats. Air Force is only planes. Navy is planes and trains and automobiles.
Okay. I mean, that makes sense to me.
I think that's
you're actually correct. I know that. Okay. You're correct. Yeah.
Are the submarines also the Navy?
It'd be weird if it weren't. I'll be honest with you. It'd be weird if they were like, they're actually the United States Submarines Space Force.
Well, I didn't know if like the Coast Guard was the submarine or they're just here. They're not on other
coast. They guard the coast.
Are the Coast Guards on other coast?
I guard our coast. Okay. I don't submarine in the Pacific.
Listen, I truly thought it was the Coast Guards. And then they tag team. And they're like, if it gets further than 100 yards out, it's the Navy.
Like, let me be clear. That might be exactly how it works. I have no idea. Okay.
I don't know how the military works. But Tom Cruise, I think that the Navy would be like, hey, we would not let a man his age fly a billion-dollar plane under any circumstances.
No, because our government cares about old people in positions of authority. You know what I mean?
They're letting somebody in their 60s, guys. 60s. 60s. He's in his 60s.
Spin zone, though. If you're going to have to let a person in their 60s fly a plane, isn't he the guy? Isn't he number one?
No. 100% it's not him. It's Carol Burnett.
That's true. That's true. She didn't use a walker or get help, you know, in the Emmys. So, ergo.
Listen, when she pulls her ear, when she breaks Mach 10, I don't know.
What if we, okay, here's two ideas. Number one, Fury 2, the tank World War II movie with Brad Pitt, Shia LaBeouf. But Carol Burnett, she's got her own tank. Boom. That's $100 million right there.
Like that. Who runs tanks? Which branch of the military is the tank branch?
It would be weird if the Air Force got tanks. It would be weird if the Navy's got tanks, to be honest with you.
So it's just the Army and the Marines?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Do they both get tanks?
Bro, what if the Coast Guard is all tanks all the time?
It's like those duck boats. They're like, hell yeah, this is our duck boat tank.
You push this button and it turns into a tank. The end. I have a pitch for what Top Gun 3 should be about. Okay.
All right, let's go.
I think it answers your issue. Okay. Because I think we're on the same page there. Tom Cruise is notoriously someone who's like, yeah, you can come into my franchise and eventually take over from me. And then Jeremy Renner looks up like 6 years later and he's like, wait, my parts are getting smaller? What's going on
here? Right.
But I do think we need to hand off here. So
yes.
I think Top Gun 3, it opens. It's Glenn Powell, Miles Teller, Tom Cruise. They're like in the locker room, you know, another successful mission against a hostile country that no one will name, but they're hostile. Don't worry about it. They get called in a meeting with their superiors, like John Hamm, other guy. And they're like, hey, we need the three of you on a secret mission. It's a rescue. It's like an extraction for an American scientist and her team. They just discovered how to use cold fusion. Okay. And they're in Hawaii. Right. Very straightforward, right? Very easy to understand. But the only catch, the scientists and her team, they're already dead. They've been dead for 82 years. Okay.
82?
Glenn Powell doesn't understand because, of course, he doesn't understand because he's hot. Neither does Miles Teller. But Maverick understands. They're going back in time to Pearl Harbor. Okay. They got to fly in World War II. They got to get this scientist out. They get like two energy packs, lets them go back in time. They come forward in time. So they go back in time. They go to Pearl Harbor 2 days before the attack. They got to get this nuclear scientist out, played by Sydney Sweeney, because why not? You know, that is very believable. Her and Glenn Powell, same chemistry. And then, long story short, they rescue the nuclear scientist. They get out of Pearl Harbor, you know, without getting killed. It's Glenn Powell. It's Miles Teller. It's Tom Cruise. It's Sydney Sweeney, her whole team. They've made it, and they're going to use that second energy pack to go back, you know, to present day, right? To time travel, back to present day. And then they all get back to the present day and everyone's there. Glenn Powell's there. Miles Teller's there. Sydney Sweeney's there. All of her team's there. But Tom Cruise isn't there. Maverick's not there. And they don't understand, where'd Maverick go? Why isn't Maverick here? Well, at the end of the movie, we figure out that Maverick didn't go all the way to the present day. He went all the way forward in time to the day that Goose died so that he could prevent Goose dying. And to prevent it, he sacrifices himself. So Goose continues to live, and Maverick's character dies in the original timeline. And so when it goes back to the present day, Glenn Powell, Miles Teller, Sydney Sweeney, her team, they're trying to figure out what happened to Maverick. They go to a meeting with their superiors to get the update. And instead of Maverick being there, it's actually Anthony Edwards as Goose. Goose is there because he lived. He lived the whole time, and now he's like, you know, head of the Navy or head of the submarines. Or head of the Coast Guard or whatever, you know, however the military works.
So Miles Teller gets his dad back.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I like this.
I feel like that solves the problem that you're saying. What do you think?
I actually love that. I don't mind. I do like any movie where Tom Cruise dies at the end. I like that.
Okay. I think that's good. I think World War II, Top Gun, come on. That's good stuff. You know?
What are other what if he could go find Amelia Earhart and they could fall in love?
Oh, I like that.
And it could be Sarah Snook. And it'd be like, also still no chemistry because he doesn't have chemistry with women. That's fine. Yeah.
Sarah Snook would be an awesome Amelia Earhart.
She'd be a great Amelia Earhart. With our live shows coming up in June, I've obviously started doing a little shopping. It's always so fun to look for live show outfits and accessories and go through my travel checklist to see what might need a refresh. I don't need much of an excuse to get myself a Prezi, but one of the things I have on my list that I need to get before the new show is a new sun top from Pear Eyewear. Wearing my Pear Eyewear eyeglasses on travel days is probably one of my favorite life hacks, especially if you have an early morning flight. Who wants to wake up and have to deal with contacts before you have to get on a plane? Throwing on my glasses and then adding the sun top when I need them is just so much more convenient. I think the Brushed Rose sun top might be the perfect one to add to my collection. Pear sun top frames start at just $30 and the prescription glasses start at only $60. Don't forget that you can save even more by using pre-tax FSA and HSA dollars, and they always have free standard shipping and a flexible 30-day return policy. One pair, infinite possibilities. Go to PairEyewear.com and use code POP for 15% off your first pair. And support the show by mentioning that the podcast sent you in your post-checkout survey. That's PairEyewear.com, code POP.
Have you ever heard a song on the radio and felt like it was written about you? That's why I'm so excited to share about our new sponsor, Songfinch. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever. Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist. I'm on their website right now, and I'm about to create my very first song. They've made it so easy. When you go to songfinch.com/popcast, all you have to do is click the big orange button that says start your song. In order to make the songs entirely original and personalized, they ask questions like, who are you creating this song for and what's your inspiration? You get to pick the artist who creates the song for you, or you can have Songfinch help you by selecting between genres, vocal styles, vibe, and tempo. You can get as detailed and personalized as you like, but the process couldn't be easier for a songwriting novice like myself. For a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anytime, anywhere. Go to songfinch.com/popcast and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value. Again, our URL is songfinch.com/popcast. Don't forget to share your song with us too, songfinch.com/popcast.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
All right, Jamie, let's wrap up here and do something or nothing. We got a couple news stories. I thought we could, you know, kind of as a PR expert, want to get your take on, is this something or is this actually nothing?
Oh, yes.
So first up, let's go Tom Holland, Zendaya. There's a little bit of breakup rumors, people having to address things. Like, what do you think?
First of all, how dare you? Now, as a reminder, Tom and Zendaya were originally a PR relationship. It was a perfect pairing because of Spider-Man, and they were both single and they were both super young. They were practically teenagers. I think they were teenagers.
Yeah.
And so it was magical. However, they have now been together more than 6 years. I do actually think she's like, I'm into him. He's tiny and I can throw him places. I like it. Mm-hmm. But recently she unfollowed everyone on Instagram, including Tom Holland. And so people were suspicious. Now, that is the dumbest and easiest thing that a celebrity can do to get attention, is to wipe any version of their social media clean. And again, guys, this isn't like your Instagram where that might be a big deal. These are people who were, this is just my public facing. They have a secret Instagram that you will never know about, that no one knows about. And so first of all, I don't think that's an impressive thing. Like, she's not like, but then we actually got someone asked, Tom Holland was at the Critics' Choice Awards this past weekend. Mm. They asked him on the red carpet, hey, did y'all break up? And he was like, absolutely not. And so that's the first answer we got. And then my favorite thing that he said, because he's a precious baby angel and I love him, is he said, Zendaya and I will every now and then watch Spider-Man Homecoming and reminisce about being 19 and making those movies and meeting for the first time. Isn't that sweet? Although she's not really in that movie very much.
To me, that's a red flag. That's a red flag. I saw that. Well, there was a Business Insider article in my Google feed, and I was like, first of all, why are you writing about this Business Insider? But secondly, I was like, your relationship has no spark left. If you're like, you know what we should do tonight? We should rewatch the movies we were in together. I really mean,
you don't ever with your beloved, like, watch your wedding video or watch videos of when you were teenagers or when you were at camp. I know that Aaron Moon and Ben Moon for sure sit down and look at videos of themselves when they were young. There is no way they don't do that.
We don't have a wedding video.
You don't have videos from camps?
No.
That you did?
No.
Jamie, you've asked the wrong question. If the technology was available to watch those videos, Aaron, would you?
Who could know? Who could know?
Who?
You know? Who could know? Who could say?
I will say, that's not my vibe, right? Like, I wouldn't, I just don't care. But it's more about if I had the access and wealth of these two people to do it. Whatever I wanted, I wouldn't spend the nights rewatching a movie.
Listen,
I was in.
What if they said to you, hey, we watched Spider-Man Homecoming on our private yacht in the Mediterranean?
Different conversation. That's a different conversation. Okay. That's how you're passing the time until dinner's ready.
Listen,
you know?
And the reason she wiped her Instagram is she posted a picture of her new movie coming out in April. It's Challengers. That's the tennis threesome movie. And we don't know, but it looks like it might be a tennis threesome. And she's also a producer on that film. Listen, that's how you know she needs that movie to do well, because she got a back end deal and she wants that to make a lot of money. And so there's no reason she's going to start promoting it now. That would not be unusual for a movie that you also produced and hope to make a lot of money from.
Sure. Yeah. Just so there's a little bit of smoke. You're saying no fire, no fire here. This is nothing.
Yeah. I would say no fire. Yeah. I mean, look, I love them and I hope they stay together forever, but I do miss them on the red carpet. So I hope he comes with her on all the Challenger stuff. Like, he shows up. Because what's he doing? There's nothing he's doing.
Okay,
Aaron,
great
is he
question.
On OnlyFans? Check Tom Holland on OnlyFans.
Check that too. I think there's a story named Tom Holland. Really old guy. He might be dead. But if he's not, see if he's on OnlyFans too. I would say what you're alluding to might be one of the issues they might be facing. Because Zendaya continues to be a major star.
Yes.
Tom Holland, is he? He's Spider-Man. Big deal. He's famous, but is he like, in a lot of ways, sometimes I wonder if he's just like cardio Chris Hemsworth, you know, because he's very good at the character he plays. But beyond that, I don't know if he is. And he's more lean instead of muscle mass.
He's dancer. He is dancer Chris Evans. Like, I was good at that one thing. I try to do other things, but none of them are successful.
Yeah.
And now Alba is having my baby, you know?
That's right. Aaron's breaking news. Aaron's found someone on OnlyFans and subscribed.
No, this is not an OnlyFans update, but he is going to be playing Fred Astaire in the untitled Fred Astaire biopic, which that kind of makes me feel happy.
Aaron, did you get that from 6monthsold.com? I want OnlyFans news from you. I do not want IMDb
He's
updates.
He's not on OnlyFans, Knox. He's not there. He's not in that space.
I will say, Aaron was really excited about the Bear winning. And I was like, oh, is this what it's like when you watch a show and they delay the Emmys for a year so that you can, like, your timelines?
Now, look, full accountability. I just finished Beef. And watching them all win, I was like, oh, this is good. I love this.
It is good,
I love
right?
the synchronicity of this. Yeah. Okay. Well, that is our conversation on The More You Know. As always, if you have thoughts and opinions on our thoughts and opinions, please let us know. Knox@jamie.com/539. All right, Jamie, you want to do some lights?
Let's do some lights.
All right. What is your red light this week?
Okay. My red light this week is you. Yeah.
Oh,
it's you.
Okay.
Because here's the thing. We put out an episode that we work really hard on every year called our predictions episode. And every year you kill it. People have coined you Nostradamus because you're so good at reading the world's tea leaves and determining what's going to happen, no matter how weird or how odd or how out of left field it is. And then I come in and I'm like, I'm your other host. I think Tina Turner's going to die. And it's just not fun.
We don't know. She might. She might still die.
She's already dead. I predicted it.
See, you got one. Look at you. Don't let the calendar encumber you, you know? Like, just like let it vibe.
Listen, I'm just out here trying to get some guesses right. And then we put that episode out last week. And literally the day the episode comes out, you got immediately. You had said there would be abdications. You said that Nick Saban, the coach at Alabama, would leave the throne. He announced his retirement that day, the day the episode came out. Then the next day, you had said Bill Belichick would leave the Patriots. He also announced his retirement. And I was like, well, let me Google some of my stuff and see if anything I did. And then somebody was so sweet in DMs to be like, hey, Allison, the dancer, the kid, she went to Ohio and is trying to pass a bill about kids being used by influencers. And
look at that. Look at that. And that's the important stuff. You know, these football coaches, who cares? Who cares? You know? So look, I don't know. It's just, it's bad luck.
It's fine. Listen, it's fine. I can just be the other host. That can be my job here. I don't have to be.
To me, I look at it as a team, right? We're you got those right too, because you're on the episode.
You're the
other host.
Don't talk to me like I'm not here.
No, you didn't disagree with those predictions. Similarly, I also am a part of getting the kids on social media legislation passed.
How dare you?
I'll take that as a half point as well.
Listen, I am waiting patiently. I do hope that in the next 30 to 45 days, we do get the death of someone in office.
Yeah.
I'm not saying who. I'm just saying if we could wrap it up, that'd be great. That'd be great.
Look, when we almost have a high ranking military official just disappear to the hospital for a couple hours, not tell anybody. That
listen, the chaos of that story, and people are like, "What?" I'm like, "What do you mean, what?
What do you mean, what? This is ridiculous, guys."
He doesn't tell anybody that he's like in the hospital. No one knows, and he's just in the hot. You can't run the government like that.
This isn't the PMG where somebody can like take a long weekend and probably get away with it. It's not a big deal. You run the military, bro. Ridiculous. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's chaotic. Okay, what's your red light?
My red light is I want to normalize the Irish goodbye retirement, right? Because you kind of mentioned, you know, the Nick Saban. Yeah. Most of the time, famous people in certain industries, when they're going to stop doing what they do, they'll tell you ahead of time. This is my last movie. Yeah. This is my last show. This is my last season, whatever. And I think that's so tacky and that's so self-indulgent. Derek Jeter did this where he's like, it's my last year. So every game, his last game at like this stadium, people would bring him like baskets of tribute to be like, oh, you're so good. And we're going to miss your like little annoying slap hit to right field. Ooh, and your backhand where you jump and throw someone out at first base. Is what are we going to do? And then Coach K did this where he took a victory lap.
Oh yeah.
And he did like a whole TED talk at the end. And he was rewarded by North Carolina, being the last game he coached in when he got beat, which is amazing. But I just think that sucks. We got Nick Saban and we like today, as we were recording, Jason Kelsey said, I'm retiring. And he didn't do like this whole, you know, season. Now you could argue he's got a podcast, so it's not a big deal, whatever. But I think with Nick Saban particularly, the greatest to do it, greatest of all time, he didn't do a big victory lap. He didn't like have everyone kiss the ring. He was just like, I'm done. I'm stepping down. And I don't know if he's going to disappear from the limelight completely. But I like that kind of vibe of like, I'm going to do a good job. I'm going to give my best. And I don't need the affirmation and attention when I'm done. I want to normalize that. I want to normalize people doing that and doing the Irish goodbye. Honestly, in all facets of life, but particularly professional famous people.
Oh, like, you can Irish goodbye it. Remember our beloved Daniel Day-Lewis, who just was like, well, that was it. That was my last film. And to be fair, not a great one. Not a great last film. But listen, has he been back? It's been 7 years. No. He's like, no, I'm in it. That was it. Bye-bye.
That was it. That was the end. Enjoy it while it's here because you'll never know if it's going to be over. And I think that's the way to go about it. So I appreciate people who do that. So respect Nick Saban and Jason Kelsey and others who have done it like that. Jamie, what's your green light this week?
Okay, my green light this week is a book. You guys, you are not ready. This book was so fun. This came out last year. It's called The Adventures of Amina Al-Sarafi by Shannon Chakraborty. Now, listen, this book, okay? Picture it. Middle-aged mother with bad knees in medieval Oman, and she's got a daughter, and she is convinced to go back to her old way of work, which was being a pirate. And so she does. Oh, and she was an amazing pirate. Listen, there are not enough protagonists. Look, I'm not saying I don't love a 19-year-old who's trying to find out her fourth wing. I get it. Like, I love it.
Yeah.
But like, I'm also interested in like a grown A woman being a protagonist. Like, I'm interested in that. And so she has this kind of scandalous career in the Indian Ocean of being this pirate, very notorious. But she leaves that life to go raise her daughter, her half-human daughter, which I secretly love. And she ends up being drawn back in from an old acquaintance who is missing her own child and is like, can you help me find my daughter? And she was like, I can do it. And look, here is the best part of this book. This book is really funny. It's so hard to write smart, snarky, sarcastic fiction. I think it's really difficult to write that in those dialogue. I don't think people are natural at that. Shannon very much is. These supporting characters, every supporting character is fleshed out in a way that I want their own novel, and I want them to have their own novel. Because this book is weird because it's like a prequel and a sequel. Like, you don't know what's going to happen, but she's had this whole life before this with many of these characters. And so you're kind of dropped into the middle of a franchise, but like, it's really well done. It has very quirky characters, spooky monsters, and it's swashbuckling at its best. It is a fantastic read. My understanding is it is going to be part of a series. And so I'm excited to continue to read all of these adventures of Amina. It is so good.
Oh, that's awesome. I've got a green light that's similar. I didn't start it realizing it was the first part of a trilogy. But when I got to the end, I was like, that's kind of a weird ending. And then I realized, oh no, there's like two other books coming. That makes more sense. It's called Essex Dogs by Dan Jones. Dan Jones, the historian. I think I started with the Plantagenets and then the Rise of the Tudors. He writes a lot of, I don't want to call it medieval history, but you know, the whatever 1200s to 1500s is kind of, that's his range. But Essex Dogs is his first historical fiction, and it's really positioned like there's a Band of Brothers kind of vibe to it. There's Saving Private Ryan kind of vibe to it. It's set at the beginning of, it's like 1340 something, at the beginning of the Hundred Years' War. And it is basically centered around this group, this like, I don't want to call it a regiment, but a company of men called the Essex Dogs. And they're misfits. You know, they're from different places. They're led by an old, grizzled veteran named like FitzTalbot. There's a Scotsman. There's a kid named Rumford who's an archer. And the dialogue is Dan Jones. I thought it was going to be kind of, I worried it was going to be a little bit of a kind of a boring kind of historical romp because he's a historian, but the dialogue is as if it's a Tarantino movie. It's if you're listening on audiobook, you got to be careful around your kids because there's a lot of F words. But it's just kind of what you imagine a military group of dudes in, you know, the mid 1300s would probably talk like. And there's a Scotsman who every other word's an F word in a hilarious way. But I absolutely loved this story. I'm so excited for the other two books to come because it's just it's a great way to follow a historical story, but also just really compelling character work. Love the historical detail. And there's the added benefit. I found out over the break, I'm related to Edward III, who's a main character in this story, and his son, the Black Prince. So that was kind of neat to find out, you know, to know that on Ancestry and then get a story that kind of articulates them, in a big way.
That sounds very cool. First of all, Dan Jones is attractive.
Yeah.
I just looked him up and I'm like,
I did too. I thought he was going to be crusty old guy. I was like,
no,
you're cool and hot.
That's what's a hottie McHottie. I like that.
Yeah.
Not that they're better writers, but I'm into that. And then, the other thing is I'm actually genuinely surprised that you would put your DNA on ancestry.com.
Yeah, I know. I just the need for historical knowledge overweighed privacy concerns.
I mean, talk about like a conflict in your heart. Like, you're like, do I want to put this out of the universe? But I do want to know that I'm related to Edward III. So
see, but Dan Carlin just did an episode right before the break called like The Age of the Acer, and it's the Vikings. And he talked about a character I'm also related to, Rollo. So I was like, oh, this is incredible. This is well worth the privacy concerns. Essex Dogs, highly recommend. I think you'll like that. And then I'm going to greenlight a TV show. Have you greenlit this show? Did you see my notes? Yes. Such Brave Girls on Hulu?
No. Uh-uh.
Okay. So this feels like one of your green lights. It's the reason I ask. It is a dysfunctional family sitcom from the British trauma genre on Hulu. Kat Sadler stars as Josie. She's also the writer and creator of the show. Lizzie Davidson is her real life sister, who plays her sister on the show, Billy. And Louise Braley, plays her mom, Deb. And this is just the best way to describe it is the slug line, which is this show follows three women and how they navigate life armed with nothing but poor judgment and poor self-esteem tied to people who couldn't care less about them. It's a very Pen 15 kind of vibe. It's almost just interfamily savagery towards each other in the funniest way possible. Billy plays the Wicked Witch at like a daycare center. So she's always in a witch costume and green face paint. They never explain this. They never go into it. It's just picked up in the subtext. She's obsessed with a guy named Nikki, who she describes as her perfect type, which is a drug dealer who looks like he wants to hurt her. It's the kind of British dry absurdist comedy that's sometimes hit or miss for me, but this is a complete hit. I love this. It's the best thing about it. It's a half hour. It's six episodes. It's perfect.
Oh my gosh.
I binged it in a weekend. It's so good. I laughed out loud.
It's 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. It is beloved.
It's so funny. It is so absolutely
funny. I can't wait to
watch
it. Okay, perfect. Yeah.
I highly recommend people check that out. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the Popcast. And for a garden, remember, anytime you're doing shopping on Amazon, make sure you're going to Amazon.com/shop/thepopcast first. So you purchase our affiliate link. If you're adding purchase using that link, this week was Jamie. It's a COVID-19 test.
COVID, every disease is on the rise. Every disease that exists. So stay inside. Don't go out. This has 1,100 global ratings, 4.6 stars. So it's a solid test. But I did love the question that I found from Danny, who asked, where do I swab it? And a replier answered, wherever you think the COVID is.
Guys, don't get your
health information from the Q&A section of Amazon. Just a heads up. All right, you guys, don't forget, people are loving our Princess Collection. You can love it as well. Just head over to knoxandjamie.com/annual and sign up. Today, I'm Jamie. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Jamie B. Golden.
I'm Knox Coy. You can find me on the socials at Knox McCoy. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Bye, guys.